Proverbs chapter 4. Read the first 19 verses. These verses are really a reiteration of what has been said up to this point. Read, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, because it is the principal thing, get wisdom. With all thy getting, that is, all thy getting of wisdom, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they, that is, the wicked, they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." We see back in verse 5 and also verse 7. Verse 5, we're told to get wisdom, something we are to obtain, something that we have a responsibility to obtain. Get understanding. Verse 7, we see wisdom is the principal thing. That is, it's the main thing, the primary thing, the leading thing. It is to be foremost in our life. And because of that, we're to get it. Get wisdom. So again, we see that statement, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Up to this point, we have been told that we need knowledge, which is certainty, and we're talking about spiritual knowledge. We are to have a certainty about spiritual things, and that is our responsibility. That is the responsibility of each one of us to obtain that. To get that. It has absolutely nothing to do with intelligence. Has nothing to do with our IQ. We're talking about a spiritual certainty. And spiritual certainty will do much for you in your life. We've been told to get understanding. That's spiritual insight. We're to have spiritual insight. We're to be able to read the scriptures, and to have some insight. Again, this comes from the Spirit of God. Discretion is something that we need. And these things are used interchangeably throughout the book of Proverbs, but they are different. But we do need discretion, the ability to decide what should be done. We have this certainty. We have understanding. And now we have the ability to decide what needs to be done or what should be done. We need judgment, which is discernment. All of these are mentioned there in the first chapter of Proverbs. Discernment, the ability to be able to tell the difference between the path of the wicked and the path of the just. The ability to identify wickedness, the ability to identify that which is right. And then, of course, we need wisdom, which is simply looking at life from God's point of view. When you look at life from God's point of view, you are a wise individual. It is Christ-likeness. And we're told here in verse 5 and in verse 7 that this is the principal thing, and we are to get it. That is, we are to obtain these things, and these things will help us immensely in our lives. Now, in verses 1 through 9, there is that urging once again to attain wisdom. We've seen it in each chapter leading up to this point. But I believe if you look at these verses 1 through 9, I can see 10 steps in getting this wisdom, not only getting it, but keeping it. And we see, first of all, in verse 1, and again, this is a predominant word throughout the book of Proverbs, is hear. Hear. In other words, listen. Hear ye children, instruction. Listen to instruction. Now, that's not just any kind of instruction. That's the instruction of a righteous father. That is righteous instruction, godly instruction. Hear godly instruction. Pay attention to godly instruction. Notice in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. That being true, a foolish man will not hear. A wise man will hear. A wise man will listen. A wise man will pay attention to instruction. And then we see, as we hear wise instruction, this is one of the ways that we obtain wisdom. Notice in Proverbs chapter 8, and verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise. Hear instruction and be wise. So the wise hear instruction. And we need to hear instruction in order to be wise. So if we want wisdom, and it's our responsibility to obtain wisdom, then one of the first things we need to do is we need to listen. We need to hear instruction. We need to pay close attention to instruction. The second thing we need to do, we see also here in verse 1, is we need to pay attention to know insight. Notice and attend, that is, take part, do something, pay attention to know understanding. Or to know insight. Strive to have spiritual insight. You do not get spiritual insight by listening to the instruction of fools. You do not get spiritual insight by listening to the instruction of the unspiritual. You get spiritual insight by listening and paying attention to, again, wise instruction. Then in verse 2, he says, forsake ye not my law. That's the third thing. Do not abandon the laws of wisdom. Do not abandon the rules. Do not abandon the principles of wisdom. Do not let them leave you. Do not forsake them at any time. Listen to the instruction or the directives and the direction of wisdom. Once you've done that, never abandon the laws of wisdom. You'll hear all kinds of things. You'll hear all kinds of instruction. You'll hear all kinds of principles. And you need to cipher through all of that. And then you need to hold unto wise instruction. Never, ever abandon it. Take it with you wherever you go. We see in verse 4, we see the fourth thing. Retain my words. Retain the words of wisdom. Once you have it, that's no guarantee that you will always have it. Retain the words of wisdom. Then notice also in verse 5 or verse 4, keep my commandments. That is, always be conscious of the commandments of wisdom, the laws of wisdom. Always remember them. Always keep them upon your mind. Verse 5 tells us to remember, neither, it says, forget it not. In other words, remember wisdom. Remember the instruction that you hear. When you come and you listen to the Word of God, you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to receive it, it's another thing to remember it. Do not forget it. Strive to hold on to it. Remember it. Because somewhere in your life you will be able to make application, you'll be able to use it. So remember, do not forget what you've learned from the Word of God. Do not forget what God has shown you. We see that we're to be steadfast in wisdom, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And that means we're not to slide from wisdom. We're not to fall from wisdom. That can be gradual. That can be sudden. But we're to make sure that we do not fall from wisdom's ways. In other words, again, we're to be steadfast in wisdom. Verse 6, we're to love wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Have an attachment to wisdom. Have an attachment to this knowledge, this understanding, this discretion. We're to give it a place of honor. We were told in verse 7 that it's the principal thing. And then in verse 8, exalt her. Give it a place of honor in your life. In other words, hold it in high esteem. Hold spiritual instruction in high esteem because of its importance. And then in verse 8, we're told to embrace wisdom. That is, to clutch it, to hold unto it. All of this implies that there is a battle, that there is a struggle going on in our own lives. And in any time we hear spiritual instruction, the devil's going to do everything he can to cause us to forget it. Again, most of us have long ago forgotten much of what we've been taught, much of what we've heard, and it's a shame. It's a shame what we have forgotten. And we need to make a conscious effort to remember godly instruction, wherever it comes from. It can come directly from God's Word. It can come from an individual. But when there is godly instruction, don't despise that. Don't get angry when someone gives you godly instruction, but strive to remember it. So heavenly wisdom comes through the hearing. And we're to take heed what we hear, and we're to take heed how we hear, Jesus tells us. So heavenly wisdom comes through instruction. So the exhortation is repeated in verse 10, hear, O my son. Again, it's repeated, hear, listen, listen to what I am saying, the Father is saying to his son. Listen to me, pay attention. And if, how many times you've heard people say, if I would have only listened, if I would have only listened. And there's a lot of people, their lives would be different today had they only listened. Had they only listened. And how many times people have turned a deaf ear to godly instruction. And somewhere along the line, they're going to be saying, if I had only listened. How many times someone will turn away in anger from godly instruction? How many times people will make a mockery of godly instruction? If I would have only listened. You think, not to be talking about them, but you think about people who used to be here that aren't, and they're out in the world. Their lives are in shambles. If they have only listened. If they would have only listened. And today you can try and talk to them and instruct them, and most of them still have no intention of listening. If they'd only listen. So we need to learn. We need to learn to listen to wise instruction. We see there must also, verse 10, be a spiritual receiving of wise instruction. Not only must we hear, we must receive what we hear. That is, what we hear must become a part of us. We receive it into our lives. There are many who have heard the same truths, perhaps grew up in the church with you, heard the same truths, but it doesn't seem like they received any of them. They heard them, but they never really received truth. And if you want wisdom, just hearing alone will not get you wisdom. There has to be a receiving it. And when we receive it, it makes a difference in our life, and it begins to change us. Notice in verse 3, we're told, we see that word again, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Again, there is a receiving. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. To receive is to accept. To receive is to accept them. You accept the instruction as true. There are many people today that you can give godly instruction to, and they're going to laugh at you. They think the ways of foolishness and the instructions of fools and the instruction of the wicked makes more sense to them than the instruction of the godly. And they do not receive godly instruction. And as a result, they live the life of a fool. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10 and verse 8, the wise in heart, that is, those who are wise, will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. We obtain wisdom by receiving, and once we are wise, that will cause us to receive instruction. A wise person listens to godly instruction. A foolish person refuses to listen. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel. Hear counsel. Again, this isn't talking about just any counsel. There's a lot of counsel out there today. But it's talking about wise counsel. Hear it. Listen to it. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Hear and receive that you may be wise. Keep in mind again, it is our responsibility to get wisdom. It is the principal thing, and we have a responsibility to get it. We have a responsibility to obtain it. When we come to the house of God, we know. We know that the Word of God is going to be taught. The Word of God is going to be preached. We know that the Word of God contains what God wants us to know. And it is the source that God uses to give us wisdom. So we have to make every effort to hear every effort to pay attention, every effort to receive what we have heard. This is how wisdom is obtained. And then notice back in verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 4, or verse 10, I mean, and the years of thy life shall be many. That is, you hear and you receive. And this is what enables you to have a useful life. Wisdom will cause your life to be useful. I believe we all want to be useful. We all want our life to count. We all want our life to matter for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. Well, we need wisdom to have useful lives. We need wisdom to have a full and joyful life. A fool does not have a full life. A fool does not have a joyful life. A fool has a miserable life. But wisdom gives us a useful life. It gives us a full life. That our days, when we come to our end, that our days be full. That is, we've done something. We've accomplished something in the service of God because we obtained wisdom in our life. And then, notice verse 12. Verse 12. We see the value of hearing and receiving. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now notice two phrases. When thou goest, when thou runnest. I don't believe that's talking about the same thing. It's talking about different events, different situations in our life. But when we hear and receive wise instruction, it will help us in all of our goings, and it will help us in those times when we run. So it says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. In other words, when thou goest, that speaks of the ordinary course of our life. When you go here and you go there, just the ordinary course of your life. When you hear and you receive the instruction of wisdom, the ordinary course of your life will not be filled with insurmountable obstacles. You look at the life of many individuals today, and it doesn't matter when you talk to them, their life is always filled with insurmountable obstacles. And if you talk to them, it's always someone else's fault that they have this obstacle. But again, there is a common denominator. And the common denominator is themselves. And a person who does not have wisdom builds their own obstacles. We create our own obstacles. A person who is foolish brings many a difficulty and many a trial and many a trouble into their life. And as we've said before, if that's all you have is one trouble after another, one difficulty after another, just one thing after another, you're doing something wrong. And somewhere along the line, you would think it would click. I must not be doing something right. But you see, wisdom will prevent a lot of obstacles in our ordinary life when we go. But then he talks about when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. When you run, that's not ordinary. You don't run all the time. You walk. You go from here to there. But when you run, that's the extraordinary things in our life. And we all have those times when we need more energy and things that are not ordinary. And wisdom will help you in those times also. It says, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And again, a lot of people, they're always tripping. They're always tripping. They're always falling because they lack wisdom. Because they do the things that are going to cause them to stumble. What this talks about is steadfastness. It talks about consistency. when thou goest, when thou runnest. You can have consistency in your life. And it's by the hearing and the receiving of wisdom. Then there's another command to hold tight, wise instruction. Verse 13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Take fast hold. That is, securely and firmly clutch and grip instruction. When you receive godly instruction, when you hear godly instruction, grab unto it. Hold it firmly. Do not let it go. As soon as you hear wise instruction, take fast hold. Let her not go. That is, do not let it slip away. Don't let it slip out of your hand, because it's going to prove to be valuable in your life. Everything God teaches us, He teaches us for a reason. And everything God teaches us, if we hold unto it, we will be able to use it. Somewhere down the road, we will be able to use it. We'll be able to apply it to our own life, or we'll be able to help someone else. But God doesn't just show you something. God doesn't just teach you something just for the sake of teaching. But there's a purpose. But so many times, God shows us something, and by the time when it comes time that we can use it, we've already forgotten. So do not let her go. Do not allow it to slip away. Again, this reveals that there's a struggle. There's a battle going on. There's opposition. And the reason or encouragement that we are to hold it fast is, for she is thy life. It's your life. Wisdom is your life. It's a matter of life and death. It's the principal thing. Get this wisdom. Get this understanding. And then in light of verse 13, the idea is that fellowship with the wicked. Again, verse 13 says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her. And then we read, enter not into the path of the wicked. As if fellowship with the wicked will loosen our grip on wisdom. And it does. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Fellowship with the wicked. You can hear godly instruction. You can receive it. And then you can go into the path of the wicked and you can lose it. It'll slip away. So he gives us some very good advice here in verse 14 and verse 15. And the wise individual will follow, will obey what is said here in verses 14 and 15. And we've mentioned these verses many times. These verses are so plainly spoken. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. We have the path of the wicked. We have the way of evil men. And it is spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge that causes us to know the difference between the path of the just and the path of the wicked. A wise person can identify the path of the wicked. A wise person can identify the way of evil men. A wise person knows this is wrong. This is wrong. There's no doubt in a wise person's mind. They are able to identify. If you have difficulty identifying between right and wrong, it is because you lack wisdom. You lack this discernment and discretion. So we know we are able to identify the path of the wicked. The command is, you do not go there. You do not go there. And a wise person has no desire to go there. enter not into the path of the wicked. He repeats it. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. That isn't experiment with it. Get as close to it as you possibly can. Avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid the path of the wicked. Avoid the way of evil men. Whatever it is you have to do to avoid it, you do that. But you are to avoid the path of the wicked and the way of evil men. Pass not by it. Don't get as close to it as you possibly can. Wisdom does not play with sin. Wisdom does not look for the loopholes. Wisdom does not try to get as close as it can to ungodliness. Wisdom does not pass by it. Wisdom has no desire to pass by it. And again, if you've heard and you've received and you begin to enter these paths and you fail to avoid these things and you go in these paths, I guarantee you, you will lose your grip upon wisdom. It won't be long that you will almost have forgotten what you've heard. And then it goes on and it says, turn from it and pass away. I believe what that means is, if in the course of your life you do everything you can to avoid it, but in the course of our lives we all know there are times when there it is, it's right there in front of us. We did not purposely go there, but there it is. What are we to do? We're to pass by it. We're to turn from it and pass away. We're not to stand there and contemplate. We're not to stand there and ponder the path of the wicked and the way of evil men. We're to turn from it. We're to pass away. In other words, we're to get out of there as quick as we possibly can. Wisdom will direct us to do this. Understanding will direct us to do this. This spiritual knowledge, this certainty that I know what God's word says and I know it's right. I know it's true. This knowledge will cause you to avoid the path of the wicked. And again, these paths are easily identified by the individual who has wisdom. You take individuals, the examples of Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom. Dinah going out to see the daughters of the land. Solomon's 700 wives of heathen nations. Jehoshaphat joining affinity with Ahab. They all teach us the same thing, that no one enters the path of the wicked. No one enters the way of the ungodly without personal hurt to themselves, without personal harm to yourself. You have never gone in the path of the wicked without it hurting you. You may not realize right now the damage that it caused you. But I promise you, every single time you go into the path of the wicked and the way of evil men, you are hurt. You are hurt spiritually. You have lost something. It has cost you something. You may not realize what it's cost. That day may come when you do realize. But no one goes in these paths without getting hurt. And no one fools around with these things without getting hurt. It's just like the proverb says, you take burning coals, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get burned. You cannot play around with these things and not experience some harm in your life. And that's why Paul said, have no fellowship. He didn't say have as little as possible. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, in other words, rather than have fellowship with them, reprove, rebuke them, correct them, Give them godly instruction. Give them godly counsel. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Rebuke them. Reprove them. And then the practice of the wicked is described. And this goes to enforce what is written in verse 14 and 15. But the practice of the wicked is described in verse 16, verse 17, and verse 19. They sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That is characteristic of the wicked. They don't want to be in misery by themselves. They want to take you along with them. They don't want to fall by themselves. They want to take you with them. They eat the bread of wickedness. This is their everyday diet. And drink the wine of violence. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. How true. They fall again and again and again and again. And the reason they keep falling is because they're not able to see the very thing they're tripping over. So they just get up and do it again. And get up and do it again. And then if you go and you try to give them some godly counsel, some godly instruction, they'll look at you as to say, well, that won't work. As if their way's working. They're walking in darkness. They're tripping all the time, but they don't even know why they're tripping. Nothing works in their life, but they don't know why. Do not enter that path. And then notice lastly, verse 18. In contrast, but the path of the just. That is in contrast to the path of the wicked and the way of evil men. The path of the just. The path of the righteous. The path of the wise. The path of wicked men is, we've already seen, is as darkness. But the path of the just is as a shining light. You can see in this path. Now, I wouldn't want to walk around all the time not being able to see where I'm going. Because if you walk around all the time not being able to see where you're going, you're going to hurt yourself. And those who walk the path of the wicked, it is a path of darkness, and they hurt themselves over and over and over again. But the path of the just is as a shining light. You can see. You can not only see, but you can see clearly. And that it is as a shining light speaks of its beauty. It speaks of its glory. It speaks of gladness. It speaks of order. They're able to walk and not constantly be stumbling and tripping over something. They're able to have some joy in their life. They're able to have some peace in their life. The path of the just. And it's wisdom that teaches us to walk in the path of the just. And he goes on to say, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That is, it is a path of progress. It is a path of progress, a path of spiritual progress. You want to progress spiritually? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Hear instruction. Receive instruction. And you'll grow. You'll grow spiritually. And the more you grow spiritually, the more enabled you are and the more determined you are not to enter the path of the wicked and to go in the way of evil men. Notice in closing in Job chapter 17, speaking of this progress, Job 17, verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. The righteous shall hold on So hold unto his way. Wisdom not only shows us where the path of the just is, wisdom keeps us in the path of the just. So it gets back to verse 5 and verse 7. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Get it. Obtain this wisdom. It may, and it will. It will save your life. Get wisdom. It may save someone else's life for you to get wisdom so that you can give them wise counsel. Don't be ashamed. And this is a great failure amongst God's people today. Don't be ashamed. And don't be timid about giving others some godly counsel, some godly instruction. When you're with somebody and they're talking like a fool, you need to say something. You need to insert some godly instruction. Well, they won't listen. No, they probably won't. But it's our responsibility. Someone did that for us. Give us godly instruction. So people said, well, it never came up. Well, when they start talking like a fool, to me, it's come up. It's come up, and now's the time to say something. There's no better time to say something. Take the word of God and say, let me show you something. Let me show you something. And give them some godly instruction, some godly counsel. And that we would take great pains to hear, to receive godly instruction. Brother Mark, would you come?